Radio Prague News.
The Zambian government has slammed Czech efforts to involve the EU in trying to secure the release of three Czech nationals who faced trial in Lusaka over spying charges. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has offered German Chancellor Angela Merkel a public debate on the completion of the Temelín nuclear power plant. And President Václav Klaus has launched a new book containing scathing criticism of the European Union. The Zambian government has described as unfortunate the efforts of the Czech government to involve the EU in trying to secure the release of three Czech nationals who faced trial in Lusaka over spying charges. Minister of Foreign Affairs Hishimba Kambwili said Czech efforts to persuade the European Union to impose sanctions against Zambia if the country does not release the suspects was not conducive to good relations and that his country would not be threatened. Mr. Kambwili said the matter was in the courts and the Zambian government would not interfere with the ongoing legal proceedings. The Czech Foreign Ministry is sending a special envoy to Zambia in connection with the case, and MEP Jan Březina recently asked the European Union's foreign policy chief, Catherine Ashton, to use all available means to help secure the release of the three Czech citizens. Meanwhile, Luděk Zahradníček, Czech ambassador to Zimbabwe, who represents the Czech Republic in Zambia, has denied allegations that his country had threatened Zambia with sanctions and expressed the hope that the case would soon be satisfactorily resolved. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has offered German Chancellor Angela Merkel a public debate on the completion of the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia. Czech radio reported that the Prime Minister had written Chancellor Merkel a letter saying that Czech-German relations and cooperation in the energy sector and beyond would be strengthened by a unified approach to the issue. President Václav Klaus has launched a new book which contains scathing criticism of the European Union. At the launch of his latest publication entitled European Integration Without Illusions, Mr. Klaus said the EU was in a blind alley and should backtrack from its policy of deeper integration, returning instead to an alliance in which states cooperate while fully retaining their sovereignty. The book focuses on the current problems of the Eurozone, saying that the financial troubles surfacing in different member countries are but the tip of the iceberg. The Czech unit of the natural gas giant RWE will raise natural gas prices for households by 9% on average from mid-December due to a steep depreciation of the Czech crown, which makes imports more expensive, a spokesman for the utility said on Wednesday. It is the company's second price hike in less than 2 months, triggered by the crown's fall against the US dollar. In November, it boosted household prices by 5.2%. The 2011 Absurdity of the Year award, given to the most meaningless and burdensome bureaucratic regulation in force, has gone to a regulation stipulating that companies must provide a written document stating they have a clean bill of health when the information is available freely online. Second place went to the free delivery of a wide range of magazines to members of parliament, including porn magazines. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be cloudy with daytime highs between 3 and 7 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Pavla Horáková. In today's program, the Education Ministry's plan to launch nationwide tests for elementary school pupils draws criticism from parents and teachers alike. The oldest Czech record label Suprafon offers part of its massive archives to internet buyers. And in Spotlight today, we visit the unique industrial heritage site in Ostrava Vítkovice. All this and more coming up, so please stay tuned. The Education Ministry will soon launch nationwide tests it believes will help improve the plummeting standards of Czech elementary schools. Contrary to the ministry's original plan, the tests will not restrict those who do poorly from pursuing a higher education. Even so, critics say the plan is too vague, and some of them have even launched a petition asking parents to boycott the test. Jan Richter reports.
When Education Minister Josef Dobesch first came up with the idea that nationwide tests of 5th and 9th graders should determine their future education, he raised the ire of experts, teachers and parents alike. Minister Dobesch later backtracked and this week presented a new version of the obligatory tests. They will be administered in three subjects, math, the Czech language and a foreign language, and will be based on educational standards that each 5th and 9th grader should achieve. Minister Dobesch explained what purpose the tests should serve.
The main purpose is to provide feedback to parents, children and schools about the real level of knowledge in the 5th and 9th grades. It will also unite the minimum standards in math, the Czech language and a foreign language in those grades across the Czech Republic.
Pupils will take the tests online. In mid-December, a pilot version will be run at 100 elementary schools and will not be compulsory. Then in 2013, the exams should be administered nationwide, and a year later, they will be implemented across the board. Education Minister Josef Dobesch again.
In the pilot exams, we'll be testing math, Czech language and English. In May 2012, we will also offer tests in French and German, and we will set those standards so that the best pupils can receive international certificates.
However, the ministry's plan has drawn criticism from parents, teachers and other experts. They point out that similar projects in other countries, in the United States for example, have backfired. They also complain that the ministry does not really communicate with the public. One of the critics is Oldřich Botlík, a designer of tests for elementary schools.
The minister's plan, if some consistent plan exists in writing at all, which I doubt, hasn't been presented to the public and hasn't been discussed yet. When asked about details, the minister changed the aims of his obligatory testing several times during the last year. Similar attempts have failed already on a large scale. A good example is the once very ambitious American plan No Child Left Behind, which is now nicknamed as No Child Left Behind Alone.
Mr. Botlík also says the ministry has never explained how they are planning to help schools that do poorly to improve, how best practices will be shared and so on. The critics of the plan have launched an online petition asking parents to boycott the tests when they arrive. Mr. Botlík says he understands the need to have a broader picture of educational achievements at Czech elementary schools, but he does not believe that testing each pupil in the country is the right way to go.
A good solution can be a system of regular testing on representative samples, not on a large scale. Such a system shouldn't harm anybody, should also focus on creative abilities of pupils. That means no multiple choice should be included. What has happened in the US is exactly the opposite. I know a very good example of such a system. In New Zealand, it's called the National Educational Monitoring Project.
Despite the criticism, Education Minister Josef Dobesch has not ruled out the possibility that in the future, the nationwide test might also serve the purpose of weeding out weak pupils and sending them to apprentice schools.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, Supraphon has been the main record label for Czech music ever since 1932 and has been a major force in bringing Czech music to the rest of the world. Now, as the world goes online for music, so too goes Supraphon. On Thursday, its new online service, Supraphon Online, will begin offering a part of the company's massive archive of more than 100,000 recordings to internet buyers in what was intended to be the first such service in the country. Christian Falvi talked to the record company's business manager, Antonín Milata.
Now for the start, we offer on Supraphon Line, I think it's 2,500 albums, which stands for 30,000 tracks. We divide it into three categories, as the Supraphon is divided into three categories. It's popular music, which in Supraphon stands for everything from country to metal and punk. Then there is classical music, including the latest albums from Pavel Haas Quartet and all the new stars. And then there's spoken word, Divadlo Jari Cimrmana and other very popular spoken word.
And the company's archive itself is even larger. Will the entire archive ever be put online?
We put online like 50 to 80 albums every month, but it's obviously very hard. We have digitalized like 50% of the archive now, but there's a small percent of it online now because we have to clear all the contracts with all the participating artists. And of course, mainly with classical music, it's really hard because there is many participating artists and none of them had digital in their contracts before. So it's kind of hard. But when we clear everything, we put the album online in like 1 week, you know. So it's slow, but we hope to put big part of the archive online as soon as we can.
And will Supraphon Online be accessible to foreign audiences as well? I understand it's primarily directed at Czechs, but will it be available to everyone?
Oh, it's available to everyone in the whole world. It's not geographically blocked, so everybody can buy music there. The only problem now is that it's only in Czech. It's primarily for Czech audience. It's about Czech music, and we might start an English version, I don't know, maybe in 2 years if we see it as a bonus, but now it's only in Czech language.
Is this a necessity for Supraphon? Would you be able to survive without an online offer?
When we started this project, we didn't know about iTunes coming to Czech Republic, obviously. So we saw it as a real necessity because there was no online shop in Czech Republic. There was no possibility to buy music legally online. So this was when we started the project. Then iTunes appeared here, and of course we had to rethink the whole project. But we saw it as a great bonus for our customer because the project is Supraphon Line is focused on a Czech customer. It's focused on Supraphon customer who has a different need than the customer, I think, who goes to iTunes. You know, we have many informations about every track there. We have many methods of payment there. So I don't see it as a necessity, but I think it's a great bonus for our customer. And as digital music gets more and more piercings of the whole bundle of selling music, and as CDs slightly disappear, we think that online will be really the big player.
Antonín Milata from the record company Supraphon, and he was talking to Radio Prague's Christian Falvi. And now it's time for our regular feature spotlight. Today we travel to the city of Ostrava, the capital of the Moravian Silesian region, and more precisely to the city's industrial center Vítkovice. Its unusual skyline does not feature skyscrapers and church towers, but rather the tall and imposing structures of extinct blast furnaces. Instead of demolishing them, Ostrava has decided to preserve its unique industrial heritage, and the whole complex is now being revitalized and turned into a multipurpose cultural facility. Iron production in North Moravia and Silesia has a long tradition going back to the 17th and 18th centuries. The use of black coal, plentiful in the region, speeded up the growth of the industry in the 19th century. In 1826, the Olomouc Archbishop Rudolf, younger brother of Austrian Emperor Francis II, commissioned the building of blast furnaces in Vítkovice to supply pig iron to puddling furnaces in nearby Friedland. The first blast furnace was ignited in 1836. With a coal mine on the spot and a river running by, the location was perfect. Jakub Švrček is the head of the Industrial Heritage Site's Future Science and Technology Center.
This cultural monument consists of the blast furnaces, coke oven batteries, and the Lubina mining site, Its history was unique in that coal mining, coke production, and iron production all existed in one place, and because the resources on the spot were sufficient, the site could operate for almost 160 years in the same location.
The last furnace tapping in Vítkovice took place in 1998. In 2002, the government declared the decommissioned part of the ironworks a national cultural monument. In 2008, it was added to the emerging list of European cultural heritage. Preservationists would also like to see it included in the UNESCO World Heritage List. In 2009, the project to revitalize the blast furnaces and other listed buildings received a 500,000 crown subsidy from EU and government funds and should be completed by 2013. Among other things, visitors will be able to look inside the decommissioned furnace.
My s tím návštěvníkem budeme zacházet stejně jako s tou surovinou. To znamená, my ho naložíme tady do toho výtahu.
The visitors will follow the same path the raw material used to travel. We will load them onto the lift here, take them up to the feeding opening of the blast furnace, but they will not be thrown down the way the iron ore used to be. We'll let them take a look around from the tower, and then they will descend down a spiral staircase into the furnace. There, with the aid of various acoustic and other effects, the visitors will be able to understand how the production process worked, where the iron traveled afterwards, and so on.
Moc pochopit a blíže poznat, jak ten proces výroby toho železa vlastně fungoval a kam to železo potom dále putovalo a tak dále.
The 60-meter-tall furnace tower will offer a unique view of the city, as well as the still-functional Vítkovice Rolls and Casting Foundries across the road, whose owner is also involved in the revitalization of the decommissioned part of the complex. The Vítkovice Ironworks saw the most rapid development after they were bought by the Rothschild family in the mid-19th century. As coke was used to melt the iron, a lot of gas was produced as a byproduct of the process. The gas was contained in a large gas holder whose bell rose and fell depending on the pressure.
Tam je takový obrovský ciferník, který má hodnotu od 0 do 50, protože on měl...
There is a giant dial with a scale from 0 to 50 because the gas holder has a maximum capacity of 50,000 cubic meters. There was a direct view of the gas holder from the Rothschild Chateau. Mr. Rothschild and his managers had binoculars on the balcony, and all they had to do was look at the dial to see whether the men were shirking or whether production was underway.
Jak je ten ciferník, na jaké je hodnotě a podle toho poznal, jestli se kluci flákají, anebo jestli se něco vyrábí.
While the gas holder was being cleaned of rust as part of the renovation, Jakub Švrček mentioned a story about it from the Second World War.
Povrchem toho válce, toho plynojemu, prosvištěla i bomba.
The outer cylinder of the gas holder was pierced by a bomb, but because there was a layer of mud sediment at the bottom, several meters deep, the bomb disappeared in it like in a cushion. When the workers came back after the war, they said, "Look, there's a hole, let's just fix it up and stop worrying about it." As late as in the 1970s, when the gas holder was being modernized and cleaned, it was confirmed that there really was a bomb. So for 30 years, there was an unexploded shell in the middle of the largest gas holders in the city. They lifted it, deactivated it, and everything was okay.
In the 160-year-old history of the Vítkovice blast furnaces, some 90 million tons of pig iron were produced. In 1965, as many as 3,000 employees worked here.
Původní představa těch památkářů byla v podstatě zachovejme to tak, jak je vlastně filozofie toho poslední.
The first idea of the preservationists was to save the monument the way it looked when the workers ended their last shift, took off their gloves and put down their tools. However, the whole complex is largely made of iron, steel and other metal components, and its lifespan is perhaps several dozen years. So we want to bring the location back to life by giving it a new function, a different purpose.
Chceme oživit jedině tak, že tady v podstatě vdechneme jinou funkci, jiný smysl využití.
As part of the revitalization project, three of the dominant structures will be renovated. The blast furnace number one for guided tours explaining the production of molten iron. The old gas holder will house a congress center with 1,500 seats, and the former power center will be turned into an interactive technical museum. There will be only one brand new building, the Science and Technology Center, designed by architect Josef Pleskot. Its head, Jakub Švrček, explains.
The owner of the Vítkovice castings foundry, Mr. Svetlík, had to persuade Mr. Pleskot a lot before he managed to bring him here. When Mr. Pleskot arrived, he realized that this was a lifetime project for him, too, and he got so enthusiastic that he now comes every week. He walks around the structures day and night and tries to soak up the atmosphere, inspiring him to come up with new purposes for the site.
Architect Josef Pleskot is also behind the idea to raise the bell of the gas holder by some 15 meters and use it as an original roof for the Congress Hall.
If the elevation failed and no one had any experience with that sort of thing, the 800-ton juggernaut would actually halt all other projects which are interlinked. So we risked losing the whole subsidy. Luckily, it worked out. The result should be visible in mid-next year, when we would like to open the Congress Center and start full operation.
According to Jakub Švrček, all three projects should be finished by mid-2012. The new museum building will have the shape of an equilateral triangle, and its glass facade will reflect all the industrial monuments like a giant mirror. There will also be a covered plaza, which could be rented out for various purposes. Jakub Švrček says he's not afraid the place will not get enough visitors. Last year, long before any of the projects were opened, some 140,000 people came to see the unique industrial heritage site. And we are now rounding off our regular weekday program with a rerun of Soundcheck, our Czech language program brought to you today by Jan Wellinger.
Welcome to Soundcheck, our Czech language series through music. In this edition, slang used by young people to describe partying. Slang any person in their late teens or early 20s who has ever gone clubbing or to a party in Prague will have used or come across. The song is by popular hip-hop group Gypsy.cz. The group sings, "To bude sakra mela." The word mela means a row. A mela can be a whirlwind of a fight, as in a barroom brawl. The word was even used in the translation of the title of the film Kung Fu Hustle, which in Czech they called Kung Fu Mela. The sense that Gypsy.cz or others use it in, though, suggests a blast of a party, or a bash, or a beano. Though not entirely without negative connotations, the same way that after every heavy party one can expect a hangover. The word mela is actually rather archaic, not used all that often. But a similar popular expression also used in the song by Gypsy.cz means pretty much the same. To bude maso. Maso, as you may know, is the Czech word for meat. And what it means is that something is going to be very heavy, perhaps a bit of a slaughter. Don't be surprised to hear teens on the tram or bus laugh and jostle each other in anticipation of a big night. To bude maso is quite common. Another similar, even more popular slang word is nátes, the root of which means to saw, as in wood, řezat. But it's also slang for a thrashing, nátezat. If you say, to bude nátes, it means you're preparing for a very cool night. But it can also be used in a negative sense in everyday life. If something doesn't turn out the way you expected, you flunk a high school or university exam, make a mess of a job interview, or fail your driving test, then you'll say, or you'll sigh and tell your friends or girlfriend, to byl teda nářez. That was really bad. I really took a beating. Regarding partying, a successful night might be fondly remembered as to byla pařba. What a party that was. What a binge. Pařit is slang for boozing, and demepařit Let's go drinking is a familiar invitation among friends who've known each other for a long time. You probably wouldn't say it to your mother-in-law, though. Just close friends. Gypsy.cz also sing about the negative consequences of such evenings, not without wryness and humor. To bude maso is, after all, a figurative massacre. The band will grab its instruments and play all night, but tomorrow, as Gypsy.cz also made clear, well, tomorrow will be worse. A jelikož jsme švorce, nabídka good je sice, ale radši zůstanem doma, pálí kera s tou menge. Joj!
That was Jan Wellinger with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program is also available online at www.radio.cz. If you have any comments or questions, please get in touch. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or by post at Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. For now, from me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team here at Radio Prague, thanks for joining us and goodbye.